Mental health struggles come in all shapes and sizes, as do their treatments. Even with about 1 in 8 Americans taking some form of antidepressant, there's still unease about these medications. Some people worry about taking a pill that could change their personality. For others, the illness is the altered state, and medicine is what allows their mind to get back to normal. Seattle writer Sarah Ann Lloyd has spent years seeing doctors, trying medications that may help in one area but hurt in another. After experiencing the complicated effects of these drugs, she began to wonder what her normal reality was anymore. She shared this essay.
I've been on and off drugs for decades. The pharmaceutical kind, for my brain. When I was 13 or 14 years old, and before my doctors looked too closely, the diagnosis was garden variety depression and generalized anxiety disorder, also known as you have a lot of panic attacks, and we're not entirely sure why. And it was really hard to prove any different. I was terrible at keeping both mood logs and therapists. I was taking SSRIs, one of the most common families of antidepressants. But they can also trigger mania, which can show up as an animated, elevated mood. In retrospect, that was the case for me. And I took it as a sign that the pills were working. When I would crash later, it would just seem like a bad fit. Bipolar disorder is more likely to be misdiagnosed as major depression in women. Maybe because of hormonal cycles, or because of everyday sexism. And bipolar disorder often comes with a side of ADHD. And that's even more likely to be missed in girls. So when, in my very early teens, a normal onset age for ADHD in girls, much later than boys, I went from a voracious reader who couldn't even look up from a book to cross the street to just skimming my way through every school assignment. I thought it was personal failure. That's how I didn't end up on my current medication cocktail until my 30s. Escitalopram, an antidepressant, wards off my panic attacks, helped along by an as-needed emergency panic pill. Lamotrigine, an anticonvulsant that can also treat bipolar, stabilizes my mood, keeping me from falling too low like a trapeze net while reining in my hypomania, that's elevated mood, on the other side. A therapist figured that one out after routinely seeing me excitedly falling all over myself talking, barely able to have a string of coherent ideas, only to slink in with sweatpants and silence at my next appointment. And then there's the newest addition to my pill case, levoamphetamine and dextroamphetamine, commonly known as Adderall, because a doctor finally saw my inability to focus as something that maybe couldn't be solved with cognitive behavioral therapy. I've gotten to know myself pretty well over the last 3 decades without these mood stabilizers and pharmaceutical speed. But the person I've known for those 3 decades is frequently out of touch with reality. A couple of moments from my late teens stand out to me pretty vividly. The first was when I was about 17, waiting alone for a bus in West Seattle. And I looked up at the sky, and suddenly my whole world was this big, empty vastness, like the eerie silence of an atom bomb in a movie. Nothing was empirically wrong. My feet were on the ground, I was physically healthy, I had everything I needed for the day, but I was overwhelmed and I was detached, floating above reality looking down. And it felt insurmountable. A couple of years later, I stumbled from my dorm room to the student health center with a sharp, aching coldness in my chest. I was given a clean bill of health and a psychiatrist's business card. It was the biggest panic attack I had had so far, by a long shot. So I white-knuckled it for a few years, with miniature versions of that major panic episode, sometimes daily. I was constantly taking my pulse, getting dizzy spells, trying to shake off a seemingly permanent feeling of impending doom. This fight or flight feeling, this tightness in my chest, this being absolutely sure I am dying when I'm not. It's so detached from reality. So is racking up credit card debt like it's Monopoly money during a high, or getting so low I can barely make a frozen pizza, much less leave the house or my bed. But the thing I grapple with, looking back over, again, 3 decades of untreated and undertreated mental illness, is that this is my reality. I've taken drugs that, I'll just say, were not prescribed by a doctor to help me cope with my sometimes overwhelming world. Then I was on drugs, in the reefer madness sense. But what am I doing now? I'm still on drugs. Drugs that affect my mind, even though I had to do a lot of work on myself to get there. It helps that I have the luxury of not self-medicating. I have insurance and experience navigating the medical system when not everyone does. So, which version of me is the altered state? Is the me with undiagnosed mental illness the original or the remix? What about the me that's functional, but with a little chemistry added to bring me back to Earth? Yeah, I know we're always growing as human beings. I was never going to be the same person I was at 17 or in college, mentally ill or no. But it's still the question of my wiring that I can't shake. I could still get that same bus stop feeling, where I'm floating above my own reality with an unshakable feeling of dread, from a, like, medium to bad acid trip. Is my rescue Xanax, which some people take recreationally, actually my anti-drug? And it's the attention deficit thing that maybe gets to me the most. If I weren't too terrified by my daily panic attacks to take Adderall in college to study, I would have been considered altered. But it turns out that I actually, really, clinically needed it to study. Who knew? I had been trying to claw my way toward normalcy, but it turns out there's just been something in the way the whole time. I realized the amphetamines were actually fixing some of my wiring when I managed to read for pleasure again. Not just read for pleasure, but read 2 books cover to cover in 4 days. Reading had been one of my lifelong loves, but it's embarrassing to admit, I hadn't read multiple books that quickly in 20 years. But as we all know, your best self isn't typically your true self. Things aren't perfect. My cocktail probably isn't even perfect. I'll probably be adjusting that my whole life. I'm still adjusting the amphetamines because, hey, it turns out speed has some pretty potent effects. And so, I've started to think that there's no part of us that isn't altered in one way or another. Like, maybe I'm just as augmented when I'm sober in the middle of the day as when I wind down with some pot or a glass of wine in the evening, and that I'm just capable of different things and have access to different parts of my brain. Or maybe that's just the drugs talking.